Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sharing Humanity, a podcast produced by Manulife to help Canadians stay mentally, physically, and financially healthy during the COVID-19 pandemic. My name is Greg Bish, and I'm from Manulife. And today we're focused on personal and family budgeting during this pandemic. The information in this podcast is for your education only and should not be taken as financial advice. For that, you need to talk to a licensed financial advisor to get help with your finances. Joining me today is Nicholas Simon, a licensed financial advisor with almost 20 years' experience in the financial industry and a regional leader of PlanRight Advisors at Manulife. So welcome, Nicholas. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much for joining Sharing Humanity today. Now, in preparation for this interview, we connected a few times, and I realized that our previous episode about parenting while working from home might be applicable to you.
Yes, it is. Extremely. I have a 2-year-old daughter and a 5-year-old son who are working with me from home for the last 7 weeks now, while my wife is one of the frontline workers in a local hospital next to our house. So it's been challenging, to say the least.
Yeah, that is very challenging. Now, I've got to admit, when I saw you there, you're one of the calmest parents that I've seen throughout this process. As your kids were playing in the background, it was impressive to see. So how have you been managing it?
Actually, it's a pretty set schedule. Every morning they wake up around the same time. We eat breakfast, we get dressed, we go walk our dog all together. So sometimes they'll do biking or we'll use the stroller. So we walk until maybe 9 o'clock, where then I have to work. So I put him on front of the TV for a little while, and I do like a 9 to 10:30-ish. Then I play around with them, and I will look at emails while preparing their lunch. And my real, I would say, work starts from 1 to 3 when they both nap, because I have that amazing luxury that they both nap.
Oh, so that's
1
awesome.
To 3, yeah, 1 to 3 is the key moment of my day where I can actually work. And then when they go to bed at night, I tend to look again and work. So it's a balancing act, but I think what's important here is to figure out that everybody's healthy, everybody's good. So it's a silver lining in this whole situation is that I get to spend time with them the most that I can. Mm-hmm. And I try to make the best of it, but I'm not very crafty. So apart from coloring and Play-Doh, that's where my knowledge stops to entertaining them.
That's okay. I found that often with my son and daughter that they come up with the creative ideas on their own, and they kind of drag you along after a while. So, mm-hmm. You seem to be handling it very calmly, and a heartfelt thanks from everyone to your wife who's on the front lines.
Thank you.
So today we're talking about personal budgets.
Yeah.
And I guess a good way to start would be, what are some of the top money concerns you're hearing from people right now?
Well, the major one has been, where's my money going to come from, right? I think you would be having to live under a rock if you haven't heard about the amount of people that either lost, unfortunately, their job, mm-hmm. has been put on temporary leave. I believe the requests for unemployment has skyrocketed over 1 million in the last few weeks and months. So it's pretty bad. So a lot of people, their first question, their first concern when they talk to one of our advisors is, where's my money going to come from? And for mm-hmm. a lot of people, I think that the word, like we said, we're going to talk about budget, and I'm sure most people start to cringe, like, budget. And it doesn't have to be in a negative way, right? A budget is very simple. It's what's coming in and what's going out. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of people do 80% of their expenses or something like that. They know what they are, right? Mm-hmm. They can't tell you what their hydro bill or their mortgage or their rent is. So they know that, and they absolutely know how much money is coming in. But mm-hmm. in these situations where all that has been sort of slowly thrown out the window, it becomes a good idea to sit down and take some time just to review where everything is going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that absolutely makes sense. But it's a very simple concept, but I know from doing that with my own family and doing that with my wife, that can be a difficult process and can bring up a lot of tension.
Yes, 100%, and you're absolutely right. And usually the issues are rarely with the money coming in. It's usually with the money coming out. So on a normal case, people would have their regular income coming in every week, every 2 weeks, every month, right? Everybody gets paid differently. So they have their money. They know exactly usually how much they're getting. Unless they're self-employed, it could have some change there. But usually you know how much you're getting in. Right now, what's throwing a lot of people off is the fact that they're that guarantee-ish feeling of getting income every 2 weeks or knowing exactly how much you're getting has been thrown out. And now you have to rely on either your savings, on either government programs. So you're probably not receiving the same amount of money that you were getting before. And that is adding a lot of stress to it. I know, let's say that you are having issues with payments on your mortgage. I believe that a lot of institutions are helping people out by deferring some payments. And so that's why it's so important to really talk to your lenders, to your advisor, if you have one. That's the key, I think, is to know that you're not alone and you should seek to get that financial help.
Right. And so how important is it to have that financial help, like a financial advisor right now?
Now more than ever, and I think it's the same concept as a physician, right? I've always said it, health and wealth go hand in hand. And in a perfect world, everybody should have a family doctor that can rely on and meet at least once a year to review their health. It's pretty much the same concept here, where you want to have your financial doctor reviewing your situation. There are certain moments in life where you probably will need or seek some guidance. I call them life events or life moments. Usually it's when you start a new job, let's say, or you have the birth of a child, the death of a loved one, a change in income like we have right now. So there are certain situations where it deems a certain assistance or help when those things happen. So I think that it's in a perfect world, I would love for everybody to have their own certified financial planner to help them and guide them and give them that assistance, so that people can maximize their pension plans or their savings or their loans or anything like that, so that people are better off in the end, because it has a big impact. If you have a lot, unfortunately, a lot of people will have a lot of debt. Sometimes it's consumer debt or sometimes it's mortgage, and it can put some stress on them, which will impact their family life, their health. And so it is extremely interrelated, those two aspects. So now, like to give a short answer to your question, I think now more than ever, and even after that, I truly hope that people will try to seek that financial advice to be able to help them either continue on the right path or get back on the right path so that they can live better lives.
Yeah, you've brought up a lot of really interesting points there. There is a connection between financial health and physical health and mental health, and Manulife has supported some research on that. So I'm going to make a note for myself here to put that in the show notes of the podcast so people can take a look at that. So I just want to talk a little bit about budget. Some people, it might be their first time really creating, like sitting down and officially creating a budget. What should that look like? What do you have any tips for how they get started doing that? Like, should they open up an Excel spreadsheet and start plugging everything in? What are some of the tips for that?
All right. So it really depends on the individual, on the couple, on what they like. So I'm gonna give you a few examples of what people can do.
Sounds great.
Some people will use a very simple piece of paper and they'll just break it down. They split it in this piece of paper in two. One will be what's going in, what's going out, right? Some people know exactly their expenses. They don't have a lot. Some people, like you said, will go on an Excel spreadsheet and they'll really detail everything per week, per month, per year, and they'll correlate everything. And funny as it may seem, there are a lot of tools online that offer budgeting tools. I know that Service Canada has one. Most financial institutions now offer a fillable budgeting tool. So there are many, many, many options that are there. So I think the first step for a lot of people And I say this jokingly, is either do it in the morning with a coffee or at night with a glass of wine. So it really depends on what type of results you're looking for.
Okay, right.
I think the key, usually, like I said, the easiest point to start is with what's coming in. So if you're a single person, then it is your net income. So you always use your net income, which is the income that is deposited in your bank account. Mm-hmm. Right. So I always love to talk to people when you talk to them, because if you ask them their gross income, which is before tax, I call it sometimes the income that you sign on your offer letter versus the income that you get on your in your pay stub, it's not the same, because you have many deductions, like government deductions, taxes, pension plans, if you have them, or group benefits. So it can go by fast, even though those will give you sometimes some savings, but you want to always use for your expenses your net income, because that's what you're going to use to go buy groceries, pay your mortgage, or pay your rent, or anything like that. It's pretty easy to determine that amount. Now, certain people will have investment accounts, so they want to put in the income that they get from those. So they have non-registered accounts or savings account or allocations from the government. You want to put those in as well, because it is income that you're going to get.
Right.
When you look at the expenses, so where the money is going, there are technically two types of expenses that I see. There are your wants and there are your needs.
Needs, yeah.
Right? That's the infamous claim that, well, for certain people, what is a want is what is a need is very different, right?
Right.
So we need usually to have a roof over our head. We need to heat that area. We need to eat. I want to have a brand new $500 jacket. I have one, but I want one. And that's a very big difference, right? For certain people, they'll tell me they need to have a vacation once or twice a year. And I totally understand it. Like I said at the beginning, I have two kids. I want to spend time with them. I do need to take vacation. So I do want it. And at the same time, I do need it. Now, the question comes into play is, how much am I willing to spend on that vacation? Because it's sky's the limit. So it's really important to see the needs. And the needs are usually pretty simple to calculate, because they're fixed. They could be your mortgage or your rent. Usually that's the same amount that doesn't really change that often. Your hydro bill or your telecommunication bill or your water taxes, that's pretty much set every month. It's rare that it's going to change drastically.
Right.
So usually those are, you know what those are. So when I was meeting with clients in the past and I asked them how much was their telecommunication bill, they knew it right away. Like it's X amount of dollars. So it's pretty straightforward. When it becomes slightly more complicated, and this is where a lot of people stop their budgeting exercise, is when they go to entertainment or hair or those I don't want to say frivolous, but those wants, right? So that's where people tend to lose.
Do they stop it there just because they're nervous about what that means?
It could be they're nervous to figure out the amount of money they were spending on it. It could be the fact that it just becomes too tedious at one point, because it's hard to figure out where to find. Do you take your bank statements? Do you look at every single transaction? Do you guesstimate it? Right. So I can give you an example. When I get my haircut, I know how much it costs me. If I go every 4 weeks, every 6 weeks, it depends. So it's hard to say, well, I'm going to spend $100 on hair. That's it.
Right.
So for certain expenses, it's more difficult. I'm not a big movie goer, let's say. So when I go, I get points or I get certificates or stuff like that. So it's hard sometimes to figure out what is the definition of entertainment.
Right.
What is the definition of a restaurant? So if I say I want a budget, or I think I'm going to spend $100 in a restaurant, does it count lunches? If I go grab a quick sandwich at lunch? So that's where it becomes a lot more complicated for certain people, and they just lose the interest.
And that can be painful. Yeah, it can be painful going through that process. I've gone through that process, and it's difficult. And then once you set a budget, it's difficult to stick to it as well.
Yes, and that's why it's so hard to do it, because it's not a static, you leave it on the corner of the table, it should always be evolving. So that's why a lot of financial institutions, what they've done is with your credit card statement now, they break it down for you. Mm-hmm. And there's different websites where you can plug in your information and they'll pull up the data and they'll create that budget for you, that rolling 12 months, right? So it's pretty interesting how you can actually see your habits. So by using, let's say, your credit card, do your purchase and pay it in full every month, you're able to see, oh, I spend X amount in this, or, oh, I spend X amount in entertainment. Because if you have those recurring bill of those streaming services that exist, well, they're going to reoccur every month on your credit card. So it's easy to say, oh, I spend $9 on this, or mm-hmm. I spend X amount on streaming for that. So it's an easier way, if everything goes out in one place, that you can sort of follow up what those are. So it sort of helps out that budgeting experience. But there's no real defining tool to use. I think what's important to know is you should know really what are your needs, what you need to spend money on. And then with the remainder is how do you want to allocate it? And that is where those conversations are a whole lot harder. Do I want to spend X amount on this car, or should I spend $20,000 on this car? Right. So it becomes, that's where that harder decision is. And that's where the advice comes in, because I'm not here to tell everybody to get one type of car or another. Every case is different. Every situation is different. Every person, every couple is different.
And so that's another opportunity to get use your financial advisor to help out with your particular situation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because there are people who have lost their part or all of their income. I want to talk about what are some of the government programs that are out there right now?
So there are actually quite a few programs that exist right now. There are the federal programs that have been done by Canada. And there are also different programs that have been created by provinces. So as this podcast is across the entire country, I don't really want to focus on every single province, because it's going to become pretty complicated. Yeah. But if we're going for the general federal one, the Canada Emergency one that was recently launched, so it is good for the next 4 months. It gives roughly about $2,000 for people to be able to receive.
And
so
I think it's
really
important.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think it's important to point out that this podcast is being recorded on May the 1st, 2020. So that's where it is right now. And as the government plans are continuously changing. However, if I can just take a moment, Nicholas, there's if listeners want to go to manulife.ca, there's a COVID-19 page that is easy to navigate to. And within that page, there's updates for individuals section. And in there, you can find a link to a ton of the government programs that are available federally and for each province. So I just want to throw that out there, and I'll put that in the show notes as well.
Absolutely, because that is probably one of the biggest first resource that you'll have. Then you'll have different resources depending if you are retired, if you are a student, if you are an employee or was an employee, if you are self-employed. I mean, I sometimes feel that every day something new is coming out. It's announcement after announcement after announcement. So there's so many different ones. And this is where, once again, I'm going to sound like a broken record. This is where the advice part is so key. I don't expect everybody to know them by heart or to relate to them. Even I don't know them by heart, but I have a reference material sheet, because there's no way to remember every single announcement that happened.
Oh, yeah. So it'd be impossible. There's dozens and dozens of them.
Yeah.
If people are struggling right now, what if this lasts a long time? What are some of the things people can be doing right now to prepare for if that is the case?
Right. So I want to make sure that I'm going to answer your question twofold. I don't know if you're talking to me about the investment side of it, or if you're talking more on the budgeting daily, getting your money in type of question, but I'll try to answer both.
Yeah, let's try to answer both, if you don't mind tackling them. Does the budget make sense to do first?
Yes, absolutely, no problem. Awesome. So if right now what we know is the governments or the programs are set for maybe 3 or 4 months, right? Mm-hmm. So this probably brings us till the mid to late summer. So I cannot speak for the governments, but I would be surprised if after all this, if this keeps on going and going, they wouldn't have some continuation in the programs.
Right.
But I cannot say what it is, and I'm not saying that it's going to happen.
And if, so just to reiterate again, we are at May 1st, 2020 yes. right now. So we're talking with that level of knowledge.
Yes. If you are currently still working and you're working from home, probably, or you're working in a frontline type of work, or you have to go to the office or work and you can keep on working, then continue to do what you can. If you have to put money in your savings plan, I would definitely keep doing it because you've been doing it and you probably haven't noticed it. And this, I'm going to move on to the other side, is because you are getting paid once, twice, or four times a month, you're doing what we call dollar cost averaging, which means that you're going to buy your investments at different moments in time. And mm-hmm. since the market has been extremely wobbly in the last few weeks and months, well, you're purchasing it at different times instead of trying to time exactly when you're doing it. So by doing that constantly, it creates an average, which is probably mm-hmm. better in these situations. So if you can, it makes sense to keep on saving if you have disposable income. If you don't, you likely want to focus on paying your rent, your mortgage, and putting food on the table.
That makes a lot of sense. And how about the investment side?
So the investment side, that's the hardest part, because we really don't know what's going to happen. We've seen things that we haven't seen in years or probably ever. If you are not expecting to use the money you're putting aside in a short period of time,
and by putting aside, you mean putting aside into investments?
Yes. So yeah. Say savings for retirement, or saving for an emergency fund, or saving for any reason. If you're not planning on using it for the next, let's say, 5 years, then you keep looking at your time horizon and you keep looking at your investor profile. That's mm-hmm. the bare basics. We always look at those two components. How long do you have until you start drawing that money, and what is your risk level? So mm-hmm. when it comes to time horizon, for a lot of people, if you are 20 years old today and you're working for a company where you have a pension plan and you're saving for your retirement, there's not a lot of things you can do right now. You just mm-hmm. have to truckle on, and you're not going to use this money for another 40 years. Mm-hmm. It's really the people that are in that threshold of, I am close to starting to draw this money. Mm-hmm. So if I'm close to retirement, if I'm close to buying a house and I want to do a home buyer's plan, like when that's where I'm talking about people, it's not necessarily an age. It's a, when I'm using this money, your right. vision should be very different. You mm-hmm. really want to be safer. You have to make the decisions where you're comfortable. So this is where that advice comes in, right? The goal of the advisor is to analyze and assess with you your horizon, mm-hmm. to analyze and assess your investor profile. So where do you fit? Are you a conservative, a moderate, an aggressive mm-hmm. type of investor? And by asking you questions, and then it is our job to make a recommendation. So it's mm-hmm. the same concept as a doctor, right? He mm-hmm. says, okay, right. well, you want to run a marathon. Okay, well, how's your blood pressure? How's this? How's that? Have you ever done something like that before? And then they'll give you a course of action. So same thing with the trainer. So that's why it's so important to have that relationship.
Yeah, I think that's important to point out, because, and that's why you're not trying to give advice for individuals here, because there's such a variety of different scenarios and different preferences that you can't really do that, and why it's so important to have a financial advisor. Thank you very, very much for all of this, Nicholas. I really appreciate your time. Might have you back again, because you have a lot of knowledge that I think you can share to the listeners of the podcast. So thank you, and good luck with parenting through this isolation period.
Yeah, it should be. No, it's going to be good. And thank you for having me, and thank you for everybody. I've been listening to this podcast. As of May 1st, I'm going to wish you be safe, be there for your family. Family comes always first. Always think about that. So hopefully we'll meet again in a future podcast.
Yeah, hopefully. And thank you very much for that, Nicholas. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to the Sharing Humanity podcast. Remember to contact a licensed financial advisor if you need help with your money. Also, if you're looking for more important information regarding COVID-19, please check out manulife.ca and follow the link to our coronavirus page.